A Thanksgiving Sunday Sermon by Reverend Richard A. Rem, preached at Christ Community Church in Spring Lake, Michigan, on November 21, 1993, entitled The Embrace of Grace. The scripture readings are Job 3, verses 1 through 10, and chapter 4, verses 1 through 9, and Philippians 2, verses 1 through 11, and chapter 4, verses 10 through 14. The texts for the sermon are Job 4, verse 7, and Philippians 2, verses 1 through 4. Copyright, Grand Valley State University.
You haven't gotten this newspaper which tells about the ministry of this place. You can get them in the narthex and the connection. Take one along. On the back you'll find our proposed mission statement, and today I find myself in this series of messages addressing the mission statement. Toward the bottom, Christ Community is intentionally a community of open mind and warm heart, where the broken find healing, the doubting learn to trust, the anxious find peace, and the strong are confirmed. I love that. I'm so glad to be at that paragraph. That paragraph isn't anything new. That paragraph is simply the reiteration of what this place has been for two decades now. This is a place of grace. And I make no apologies for the accusation that's hurled at me that I am a Johnny One Note, one string on the banjo, and it is grace, grace, grace. If there is one thing that has characterized this ministry over the past two decades, it has been that it has been a place of grace. Someone has said that family is the place that you come home to and they have to take you in. And Christ Community has been a community of people that has embraced people first and talked afterwards. Our whole body language has said, there's a place for you here. We open our hearts and we open our arms and we embrace you. This is a place where all sorts of people coming from all sorts of places, anytime, anywhere, anyhow, are embraced by grace. That's been our hallmark. That's nothing new. But even in the statement of a new proposed identity statement or mission statement, it is important that we say that again, because I don't ever want us to stray from that heart and center of our life together. We are a compassionate community of God's people. And a day like this, when we take people in, is always following a wonderful elders meeting where we hear the stories of people, and I've heard the stories for over 20 years, and they're the same stories. People come and they say, you know, we came here and we felt something different. We walked in the door and there was something different. And there is something different. This has been a place that has been intentionally a place of the open mind and the warm heart. Over 20 years ago when I came back, one of the phrases that we bandied around a lot was that we wanted to be a place of intellectual integrity and evangelical passion. We wanted to try always to hold together mind and heart. We wanted to think hard and love deeply. And so once again, as we seek to say, who are we? We come down to this hallmark, a compassionate community. A place where we are embraced by grace. So I'm so glad to be there. I'm glad to get to that point. But boy, has it been tough getting there. We've had to slug through some pretty heavy stuff. Because a mission statement or an identity statement isn't anything if I just run off at the pen and write something and say that's it. It'll only be our identity statement if it comes out of our center, out of our being, if we as a people together believe it and live it. And I don't know how we can do that in a large congregation like this, except simply to deal with it as we've been dealing with it these weeks. But that has meant that we've had to slug through some pretty heavy stuff, because a mission statement or an identity statement is not a description of what we are. It isn't a statement of those well-settled opinions that we all share. It is a probing of the future. It is a visionary kind of thing. It is saying, where are we, but where must we go? What is happening in our world, and how do we understand the Christian tradition so that we can be positioned such that we will not be, as the church has too often been, the guardian of the best insights of yesterday, but the people who discern the promise of tomorrow. This week I was asked to go to the hospital to be interviewed by a consulting firm that is asking, how does North Ottawa Community Hospital position itself for the 21st century? What do we have to do about health care services and health care reform and all of that kind of thing? I was just one community person among others, because that is a responsible institution that says we cannot simply tread water. In order to stand still, you've got to fight the tide. No, we have to know where we are going and what we have to be. When you invest your money in corporate America, you invest it in those institutions that have the kind of leadership that is visionary, that anticipates the future, sees where the breakthroughs will come, and therefore positions itself in order to capture tomorrow. But let's be honest. There's one little place in your life where you just wish we didn't have to do that. One little spot in your life where you would just wish it could all be like it always was. The Church of Jesus Christ traditionally has been fighting a rearguard action against the movement of history and the explosion of knowledge and the enlightenment of the world. The Church of Jesus Christ has had to be dragged kicking and screaming into the kingdom. And so, when you mess with an identity statement, when you say, what will tomorrow bring, and next decade, and next millennium, you are wading out into deep water. And it's kind of scary and a little risky. So it hasn't been easy to get here. I'm so glad to be here. Here we are again, a place of grace, a community of compassion, where the broken can be healed, and where the doubting can learn to trust, and where the anxious can find peace, and where the strong can be confirmed. Ah, that's it. That's a compassionate community, a community of wonderful people, of open mind and warm heart. Open mind because they know they are human, not God. On pilgrimage, not having arrived, always with partial, limited insight, never having the whole picture. Open mind, therefore, but warm heart, embracing one another in the meantime on the journey, as we learn to live the questions and live in to the answers that are given us by the grace of God. So it's so good to be here, just in this place of grace, to revel in grace once again, to have a Sunday in which to baptize beautiful babies and hear faith professed and hug one another and know that finally this is family, the place you can always come back to, and they've got to take you in. But what we've been doing is not incidental to that. If we do not think theologically, if we do not think clearly, then that can all be sentimentality. It can all be marshmallowy fluff and mush. No, it's got to be rooted in reality. It's got to be grounded in truth. And so, we think theologically here because theology gives us our understanding of God. And it is our understanding of God that determines the limits of our compassion. Theology is important because right thinking is more important than right action. You might challenge that, but I'll fight you on it. Right thinking is more important than right action. You may stumble into right action, but if you're not thinking right, it'll foul up somewhere. Right thinking. Theology is only secondary. It is only reflection on experience. The experience is the thing. The encounter with God, the experience of the grace of God, the immediacy of God. But theology will always be a reflection on that. We'll always inevitably reflect on the immediacy of experience. And that conception of God will determine the nature of the community. That's why I took the story of Job. I don't have time to deal with Job today, but I just wanted you to see his three friends, who are wonderful people, sincere, Stephen's workers, sat for 7 days, didn't open their mouth until Job opened his mouth. And when Job opened his mouth, they just beat him down. He was blustered and blistered and bruised and bloodied and beaten. Poor bugger. And they attacked him. Why did they attack him? Because he dared to challenge God. No, because he dared to challenge their idea of God. And when they got to the end of their theology, they ran out of compassion. It was their theological conception that crippled their compassionate outlay. They could not simply embrace Job in his misery if Job wasn't thinking correctly about God. Their compassion was limited by their understanding of God. And I understand them. That's the way I came into ministry. Very well-described circle of truth. And when I met you, I wasn't sure, to begin with, whether you stood in my circle or not. And until I knew where you stood, I sort of held you at arm's length. Because I was afraid that if you were thinking wrong about God, if you didn't have the true light, the right words, the correct formula, and I embraced you, it might be a sign that God embraced you. And if God embraced you and you weren't right, I might be leading you on the road to destruction, because I would be comforting you when what you really needed was to be convicted. My body language would have given me away before I said a word. If you would have tried to get a hug out of me, it would have been like hugging a telephone pole. Now, if you came clean, you said, "Yes, I believe as you believe. I will say it the way you say it. I will attest to an experience like your experience," why, I would have loved you to death. I wanted more like you because that made me feel secure. But until that time, I was just like old Eliphaz. I had my theology, and it had a way of creeping right out of the pores of my being and spilling all over you. And then in my own experience, after having preached about grace for a number of years, I was touched by grace. After having done it all right all my life, I fell flat on my face. And when I thought the jig was up, you picked me up. And you hugged me. And you loved me. And you believed in me when I couldn't believe in myself. And I said, "Oh my God, That must be what it's all about. Grace, mediated, transforms. Love, offered unconditionally, changes people. And we learn that we could embrace first and talk afterwards. We learned that there was no one in any condition, any time, to whom we would not signal that there's a place for you here. This is family. The place when you come there, they've got to take you in. Because our life rises out of our life in Christ Jesus, who models it out for us. Paul says, this one who was equal with God emptied himself, became obedient unto death, even death of the cross, whereby God has highly exalted him and given him a name above every name. And we've messed around with that old ancient church hymn, trying to figure out all kinds of Christological formulas. And really all Paul was saying is, be like Jesus, who was willing to go through humiliation and then experience exaltation, who is willing to be put down in order that God would lift him up. Be like Jesus. Let your bearing toward one another, let your human relationships arise out of your life in Christ Jesus. Let this mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus our Lord. If there is anything out of your common life that stirs the heart, Paul says, fill up my joy and turn it loose. Turn it on. Love one another. Care for one another. Embrace one another. The congregation at Philippi was the apostle's favorite congregation. He had more good things to say about that church than any other. But essentially he was saying to them, make my joy complete. Be of the same mind, the same love, full accord, one mind. Out of our common life in Christ, let it loose. That's a community that embraces people with the grace of God and talks afterwards. That's a community that risks on people, takes them in, and trusts the Spirit of God to do whatever touch-up is necessary. And God knows there's a bit of touch-up necessary on us all as the Spirit of God shapes us, conforms us to the image of Jesus Christ. But I'm so glad that what Paul wanted for Philippi, we've experienced. That this is a place of grace, a community of compassion. That this is family, so that you can always come here. We've got to take you in, drawing no lines, setting up no barriers, no stiff arm withholding at arm's length. Hugs of grace that become the tangible expression of the love of God that enfolds us. This, my friends, is Christ's community. This place is different. Not just because it acts differently, because it thinks differently. And because it thinks differently, it is free to act differently. Because it believes in the grace of God, it has the permission to love promiscuously as God loves. What a place! It's a magnificent place. A wonderful place. This place of grace.